Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Let's face it, Monty Python doesn't just sing about any old food product. No, that's Spam. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 837 with Brian Lillis. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening, John.
You are the senior brand manager for the Spam people?
I am. Some might say that I've reached the pinnacle of my career getting to represent this iconic brand.
Yes, since 1937, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Spam?
That is correct. That is correct. This brand's been around for 80-plus years, and it's been delighting consumers all around the world ever since.
You wouldn't happen to know and be willing to tell us what it means, would you?
That's actually part of the lore, if you will, John.
I know.
The name of the brand itself was, the lore goes back that at a Christmas party in 1936, a gentleman came up with the idea of the name. Some might say spiced ham was the combination, but by any means, it was coined the term the Spam brand and trademarked and has been used ever since.
Yeah, and it's like one of those unsolved mysteries as to what it really means, if anything. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to mean anything, quite frankly, but
it means a lot to so many. I mean, many people that for years and years, when you think back to the 1930s when it came about and the leaders at Hormel Foods wanting to be able to create an affordable protein that could be stored and could be used by people all around the world. And so much of its popularity grew when Spam was shipped to many of American troops as they were stationed overseas and as they were in different spots around the world, and it became part of the local culture there as it became embedded, if you will, and people started using it. So for many, many years, generations now, John, we've had people that have come to see that brand name and recognize it for exactly what that is, an affordable protein that can be used and is so versatile and could be used in so many different ways.
You know, I'm watching on Netflix, The Crown. It's a series that's in its, I don't know exactly what year, but it's been following the monarchy in Britain over the seasons. And they are now at the point where Margaret Thatcher is prime minister. And I know that she herself referred to, in World War II rationing, she referred to Spam as a quote-unquote wartime delicacy. And it even went to, in the memoir, Khrushchev Remembers, Nikita Khrushchev, for those of you who don't know, was a prime minister, not a prime minister, was he? No, whatever he was like the head of Russia. Whatever you call the head of Russia, I mean, and he took his shoe off at the United Nations and banged on the table. But at any rate, he said, "Without Spam, we wouldn't have been able to feed our army."
That's right.
That's quite a statement when you get both Margaret Thatcher and Nikita Khrushchev agreeing on Spam. I mean, wow.
That's right. And even Dwight Eisenhower, as president, talking about how it helped so many and helped us to win the war. And, you know, at one point in time, Hormel Foods was providing 15 million cans of food to troops each week, and Spam was a big part of that. And the British and Soviet armies, they took to it as well, like the American troops, if you will. And so it was a big part of, an important part of World War II, for sure.
Absolutely. And it varies in its popularity around the world, but nothing, as far as I can see, gets close to the state of Hawaii, where it has the highest per capita consumption in the United States. Is that correct?
That's correct. The people of Hawaii eat and consume over 7 million cans a year, John.
Wow.
And so the people of Hawaii definitely adopted the product as their own and find new and unique ways to put it into recipes, whether that's into their fried rice with their eggs, maybe a Spam Musubi. It's very much a part of, as I mentioned, when so much of it was being shipped out to American GIs in the Asia Pacific region, and as they were coming back home through Hawaii, it became part of the culture there. And we're seeing that continue to grow today. And you'll see it on restaurant menus all over the islands. You can go to a McDonald's and have it for breakfast there.
Burger King, too, I understand. Mm-hmm. In Hawaii, mm-hmm. has Spam.
That's correct.
We're going to do more Spam talk. we're going to Spam the Spam with Brian Lillis, who's the senior brand manager for Spam. And if you have any Spam memories or current Spam recipes or anything you want to contribute about Spam, 312-981-7200. And we'll be right back on 720 WGN.
Spam on the table.
Yeah. Weird Al Yankovic does a song about Spam. So far we've got Monty Python, we have Weird Al Yankovic doing songs about Spam, and we also have Brian Lillis, senior brand manager for Spam. And you know, Brian, I don't recall any other food product that has been memorialized in songs by such prominent entertainers.
That's probably true, John. That is definitely true. It goes to show the love that so many consumers have had and do have over this 80-plus years.
Yeah.
As crazy as it might sound, we've had and now enjoyed our sixth consecutive year of record sales here of the brand. So it continues to be popular now in with so many of our consumers even today.
Tell us about the Spam Museum in Austin, Minnesota.
That's right. Just opened up just a few years ago on Main Street. We moved from a prior location and put it right on Main Street in Austin, Minnesota, or as we like to say, Spamtown, USA. 40,000 square feet, about square meat, if you will. And so it's got all kinds of trivia. It's got all kinds of displays and different things that people can look at to talk about the brand itself and the history of the brand, how it tied in with Hormel Foods and the executives that thought up the idea of being able to create this product, and then how the popularity of it grew all around the world and showcases and highlights different countries and where the product and how it's used in those different countries as well.
Yeah, there seems to be, and this is just off the top of my head, there's a little... there's a mystery about it to a certain extent. It has its own mystique as to exactly what it is, and because it goes everywhere and seems to be used in so many different types of ways and has lasted as long as it has.
Right.
I mean, it's legendary, really. I mean,
it is. It is legendary, you know. And the interesting thing is, John, with the original formula, Spam Classic, made up of just a few simple ingredients: pork, ham, salt, water, potato starch, sugar, and some sodium nitrate to help with curing. So, in a lot of respects, it is a simple formulation, if you will, that works so well in so many unique and could be unique recipes, very versatile in its usage for so many around the world.
And obviously, how do I put this? To be able to ship all the Spam that was shipped in World War II to all the troops in various places, it obviously has the ability to stay fresh, so to speak, in the can for a very long period of time, I would think.
It's definitely a shelf-stable product
that
can be used and put into the pantry or could be shipped to different countries around the world, or at the times of when American GIs were stationed around the world, could be shipped to them as well. And as we said, help to win wars, if you will. So, yes, there's definitely something to be said for the uniqueness of it, but that's also what gives it that mystique, if you will, that the brand has had for so long.
I have some statistics here. The billionth can of Spam was sold in 1959. The 7 billionth can was sold in 2007, and the 8 billionth can was sold in 2012. You said you're having an unbelievably record year. Is that right?
We are, and we actually just a couple of years ago crested over having our 9 billion can of Spam sold as well, John.
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Wow. Can you tell us some more about the museum? Is it like also like a Hall of Fame, so to speak? I mean,
It definitely highlights. We do give a nod to what you had as your intro song with Monty Python.
Yeah.
We've got an area of the museum for that. We've got areas where people can learn about how the product is made in the plant. So and a whole area on how it's put together, so to speak. There's a big display talking about the war and the areas, you know, in different countries that, as I mentioned as well, highlighting different countries.
Yeah.
We've actually made it an interactive space as well for children. We've got a play area where kids can come in during these cold Minnesota winters and be able to come in and have a spot to play. And then it highlights as well Hormel Foods, and the brand is definitely a part of Hormel, has been for a long, long time, and just all of the great brands that are part of the Hormel Foods Corporation as well.
The pumpkin spice flavor Spam introduced in September 2019. How's that going?
You know, John, it was exactly what we wanted it to do. We wanted to be involved in the conversation as it relates to pumpkin spice. So much of pumpkin spice is usually tied to coffee shops or flavors like that.
Right, right.
We created an item that our research and development folks put together and that actually did really well. And when we launched this product, we wanted to be able to get it out there and showcase just how versatile a product like this could be. And the best part about it is that it performed really well and tasted good for consumers that were able to get their hands on it. So it was a limited one-time release that we did last year. I guess never say never on whether it'll make a comeback in the future, but you know, last year it did very well for us when we did launch it. Sold out in a matter of hours, to be quite honest.
No kidding. Wow. Mm-hmm. Were people ordering online?
It was an online-only sale that we did.
Oh.
And so once we launched it, people hopped on right away, made their purchase if they were fortunate enough to get one. We sold it as a two-pack, so there'd be one that people could try and one that people could save a can if they'd like. What we ended up finding is a lot of consumers were selling them on eBay. And
oh
so they
gosh.
Were going out there and working to find the highest bidder for some of these cans as well.
Well, you know what? That you know you really have arrived if people are selling your product on eBay because it's hard to get or it's sold out and they have it and they're going to overcharge. That is a level that very few products attain. But I can understand how Spam, with its long history since 1937 up until now, and the varied ways that it's blended in with every change in the American scene, so to speak, and even in the world,
right?
You know, that's really something. I mean, it's
it is very amazing, and it's interesting to see. I talked about these recent trends that we've seen, and continuing to sell more and more. You know, what we're starting to see is the brand and the product being used on restaurant menus all over the country. And so as there have been new cuisines that have been coming into the United States, obviously this is all pre-COVID, before a lot of restaurants were shutting down, but we were seeing more and more, say, Filipino, where they were used to having it on restaurant menus there or as a part of their cuisine there. So now we're seeing restaurants popping up on the West Coast all the way to New York City. Different restaurant ideas and different menu options. I was actually at a restaurant in New York City where the Spam dish was as expensive as the Wagyu beef dish on the menu.
What?
And so it's just very interesting to see these different restaurants and these different chefs that are incorporating the product into their recipes. We have a whole list of restaurants on our website on spam.com where you can find restaurants that serve the product on the menu. So when we get to times where people are out and about and wanting to try it and get into these restaurants, I'd highly encourage people to take a look as well.
Well, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up and the way the lay of the land is with COVID and people perhaps taking the advice of the CDC or not, there may be some adjustments to the normal Thanksgiving menu. And it just strikes me that I'm sure Spam would fit in if need
Absolutely.
Be. You know,
and plenty of recipes to be able to find on our website as well, John, where it might be the original, the Spam classic. You might be looking for one where we've one of our varieties with our Spam with bacon in it, Spam with hickory smoke flavor. Some of those types of items that you could find that would be a unique way of being able to incorporate it into a recipe, be it for Thanksgiving, be it for the holiday season, be it just for, you know, a weeknight meal and looking for something that's versatile and you could incorporate into a new recipe that you'd like to try as we're a number of people are at home and wanting to be able to find new ways to spice up the dinner, if you will.
Yeah, you might say it goes with absolutely everything. Thanks for being with us, Brian. Very entertaining to talk to you, and long live Spam.